And so we can go ahead and record and get started. And it really birthed out this message, and the Lord revealed the acts of welfare. And in today's message, we're going to look at the Church of Acts, obviously, and how they entered in and lived in the welfare of God's peace. In the account of, like I said, the rich young ruler that, that Elder Donna shared, we see there was a fragment that I got, and I began to really see where when he wouldn't give his possessions, he, in essence, he wouldn't die to himself. And this prevented him from receiving the welfare of God. He wouldn't leave his own strength, and he stayed within his means. And that's where he made the mistake. Well, it's only through the Spirit that we're able to mortify the deeds of the body. And he wasn't in position. He couldn't hear, because he was being blocked because he had great possessions. But once we're mortified, we then qualify. He would have qualified for God's welfare. And that's the fragment that I got. That when we are releasing, and what it costs to qualify is releasing the things in which we hold dear, or we hold important, or they have use to us, to where the kingdom of God does not substitute the place where money is, and we got to allow for money or notoriety, whatever might be your niche for your strength, whatever you're drawing from that's outside of God, that has to go. And only by way of the Spirit can this happen. But once we're mortified, as I said, we then qualify for God's welfare. And we all know that the welfare of God is way beyond anything that this earth has to offer, because it doesn't just travel with wealth and riches and possessions, but it travels. It comes with everything we need to live and to live life and live it more abundantly. Healing is all in there. Joy is all connected to it. All of those things, the love of God, my goodness, everything is connected, building right relationships, everything. It's a cure-all. The welfare of God is really, it's really to me the words that we speak in action completely. Amen. It's every word we've ever read, but it's the action. It's the manifestation of it. That's what the welfare of God describes to me. Every promise that he's ever made is in the welfare. Every single promise leading us all the way to eternal life, living forever, never dying, praise God. But living forever, that's a part of the welfare system that he's connecting us to, and everything you can imagine in between. It's way beyond any of the things that we would try to hold on to. So the church in the book of Acts fully receives the Lord's welfare system, because the church in the book of Acts left their strength and totally entered his strength. So they really left the blueprint for the acts of his welfare, that it's really here. And Amen. The way that God revealed this to me is really amazing, because we see a blueprint, and we see them discover how to stay where they were. And so now, this is the fragment from the rich young ruler in Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 23. It says here, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother, honor thy father and mother.' And it says, and he answered and said unto him, 'Master, all these have I observed from my youth.' Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him," and when I read that word loved, I feel like Jesus really had compassion and he felt sorry for him. Mm-hmm. And he was really wanting him to come out. So this is where I believe that the word of the Lord that was coming out of the mouth of Jesus was not logos. I believe it was coming in a form of rhema unto this young man. But this man's will, I heard Prophet Stallworth teach this years ago, that the will of man is the most second powerful thing in all of creation. It's the second most powerful. The will of God obviously is the most powerful, but the will of man is right there with it. And when, so Jesus began to love on him and he said, one thing that thou lackest, go thy way and sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come take up the cross and follow me. All right. Verse 22, it says here, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Now, he couldn't enter into the welfare of God. And we know that by being in peace, it also reveals that we're also recipients of his welfare.
Amen.
This young man went away grieved. He had great possessions and he couldn't part with those things. So he went away grieved. And it says, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? I find it sad and yet amazing at the same time how this man basically perfect in living by the commandments. At the time, this was the prerequisite to prosper in God. That's why he was excited to tell the Lord, I do everything that I'm supposed to do. And he basically was prospering in a system that God had put in order. But remember, Christ came to fulfill the law. And so the prerequisite changes. All Amen. Right. It now would be about living by faith. And in doing so, finding God's strength through Christ. All right. So the man couldn't make the exchange. The young man couldn't make the exchange. And so he would never enter into the welfare system of God. He'd never enter into it. Watch this. He left grieved, which really denotes that he was distressed. That's what grieved means in the Greek. It means also to make one uneasy or to cause him a scruple. So this guy did not have peace. So there's no way he could tap into the welfare of God. He didn't have peace. He was completely left in a place of distress. Mm-hmm. And so being in a place of distress, it's basically the opposite of being in peace.
Amen.
So this actually proves he couldn't and wouldn't enter into God's welfare system. For the peace of God was nowhere near to be found. It was nowhere near him. So he left that way, and man, Jesus really felt for him because this young man's thinking that he's got everything going on, but in essence, he doesn't because he can't seem to release what he thinks is his strength or his might or what makes life good or better for him. And the Lord is saying, man, if you only knew what you could have had, if you only could understand, and God wants us to understand out the gate that it's really important for us not to be attached to things as though that's how we're making it, because they're mm-hmm. not. That is not in any way, shape, or form how we are going to survive or live in the life of abundance. It's not the way. And so when you don't have peace or you don't have it, you're really, I just want to say this, and I know you know it, but you're really on the outside of being able to receive God's welfare. I realized something when I was meditating on this. I realized why some people die before time and never get healed, though they're saying they believe on Jesus and they read the scriptures and they go to church and they do all this. But the truth be told, that you can do all those things like this young man did. He did everything. But if you don't find the place of peace by releasing your own strength, if you are being plagued by something and it's keeping you out of peace, it's not going to produce the welfare of God. First of all, when you're praying for something that you need, you got to always do it, which we've learned from the place of what we call, what the Bible calls propitiation. Propitiation is obviously revealing ultimate peace. But the truth be told, if you're not there, and I really meditated on this, how many times have we prayed for loved ones out of fear of what's going to happen to them? How many times have we moved and prayed for ourselves because of the same fear? And these things don't, the welfare of God is locked inside of the peace of God.
Amen.
It's really advantageous for us to understand that I must first be established in his peace before I can receive his welfare. And so this young man would never receive it. He walked away jacked up. He was thinking he was good to go. He was thinking everything was fine, that he had life going on. But by the time he met Jesus, can you imagine meeting Jesus? And all of a sudden, because you're meeting with Jesus, now listen to this, you're meeting with him and you leave distressed or you're in a scruple. The only reason why you leave uneasy, the only reason why this man left worse off than when he first came around Jesus. And he ran to him and kneeled down. You want to know why he did it? The Lord told me. He said he didn't do it really trying to find me. This is what the Lord told me. He said it wasn't that way. He said he did it just because he wanted to tell me how he was living. But when it came time to be challenged to release something so that he could truly find me, he wouldn't do it. So he came worshiping him only to be heard.
Wow.
It was nothing else other than being heard. This man ran to be heard. He wanted to let the Lord know, I keep all the commandments. I do this. I do that. He's basically saying he had it all figured out. But when he was done, when Jesus was done, he left in a scruple because the Lord put a challenge on him on how he really would inherit eternal life. He wasn't trying to say, get rid of your goods because you shouldn't be rich. He was saying, no, you're rich. Your wealth is blocking you from true worship.
Yes.
It's blocking you. And so this fragment came about in my spirit as I was listening to Elder Donna. This fragment dropped and it became a meal. And the Lord told me, he said, it's by the spirit that we do mortify. All right, let me go further here. And let me show you here. This is the key to entering and remaining in the welfare of God. We've been called to it, everyone. First of all, you need to know that. We were called to enter in his welfare. In the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, this is Paul talking, that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Powerful words right there. Powerful. First of all, we were called to the vocation. We're hearing this from the prisoner of the Lord who understands the vocation. The word vocation means a call or an invitation to a feast. I see the feast as being the welfare system of God. We were called into the feast. We were called into his welfare. It means also of the divine invitation to embrace salvation. It's where the salvation of God. I also, in that word salvation, feel, and you can discern the welfare of God is within that, because the welfare is revealing salvation in every area. Amen?
Amen.
So Amen. We were called into this welfare. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation, walk worthy of the invitation to the welfare, walk worthy of the invitation of the feast. That you were called, you got an invite, you're called into this thing. And then he says in verse 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Here's how you keep it, verse 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now watch this now, endeavoring is very important. This is how we maintain it. It's an old revelation, but coming from a different scripture. The word endeavoring means to use speed. It means to make effort, be diligent, labor, or the last definition here is study.
Uh-huh.
Study. Study is how you keep the unity of the Spirit. That word Spirit has got a capital S. It's not talking about us trying to be in unity with each other, because that's not how it works. We individually must be in unity of the Spirit. Meaning with the Spirit, that will create a unity between us. But individually, how do I do that? I study. I study what? The now word of God, which establishes, watch this, it then creates a bond of peace. As I stay in the study, I now move in the bond. I'm in a bond of peace here. This is how we maintain the welfare system of God.
Amen.
We were called to the, we've got a vocation on us. We got an invitation to the welfare of God. Then it tells us in verse 3, here's how you do it. Study to keep the unity, capital S, big S, of the Spirit. Staying in oneness with the Holy Spirit. How? By studying. This will create a bond of peace. All right? Go a little bit further here. All right? So now, watch this. So I'll read the note to you. We are called to the feast of the welfare, which is obviously God's peace. We maintain the position through the unity of the Spirit. Unity of the Spirit means being joined to the Spirit. It doesn't mean being joined one to another. We're trying to maintain unity of the Spirit. So we are joined to each other when we are individually joined to the Spirit. It is our constant endeavoring or study that will cause the bond of peace. It's going to create it. Watch this now. The word unity means oneness, unanimity. It means agreement. Oneness. We're one with the Spirit through the study. Amen. And when we become one with the Spirit through the study, you can, I want you to imbibe it. I want you, I'm taking my time. I want you to really imbibe it. When you're in oneness with the Spirit, when you're in oneness in the Spirit, you now have created a bond. In that bond is found the peace of God. In the peace of God is where the welfare or the vocation is revealed. The story continues, guys. It's God telling us yet again, it's all about staying in the study. The study is where we find oneness with him. And we will find oneness with each other through that. The study will then create a bond, and that bond brings us into peace. His peace then unveils his welfare. And from here, we will maximize kingdom living. Watch this. The word bond means the uniting principle. This is the uniting principle. There has to be a bond. All right? It means that which binds together. It means a band or a bond. It means of ligaments by which the members of the human body are united together. That's like, that's the oneness he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. That as ligaments come together, that's the way we come into oneness in the Holy Spirit. See, when we endeavor, when we study, we create this bond. And let me tell you, for some of you, this bond is growing stronger and stronger. You're coming into a oneness with the Spirit. Your language, your thinking, your moving, your everything you're doing it under the same ligament, same type ligament strands, and you're moving. When you move your body, your ligaments are moving together. That's what's happening with the Holy Spirit because of your endeavoring, because of your study. And so now you're creating a bond of peace, which is going to absolutely unveil and reveal his welfare. I know this sounds like a lot, but it's real deal talk here. And the church in the book of Acts did this. And I was amazed at how God revealed it. All right. So now God is saying here, we endeavor, we study. All right. We stay in the study of this now rhema word. And by staying in the study of the now rhema word, what happens is we create a bond. We come into unity. All right. We touch unanimity is the word. We come into this great oneness with the Holy Spirit, and that creates such a bond of peace. The church in Acts did this, and I was blown away. Here we go. So the church in Acts reached this place. They found the uniting principle. They stayed in the apostles' doctrine.
Hallelujah, Lord.
They individually stayed connected to the Spirit by the rhema word. As they joined individually, they were joined collectively. They truly entered into the vocation feast or welfare in which they were called. Now, let's look at this here. And this is where our study really kicks off. It says in Acts chapter 1, your subtitle is they enter through the study. Peter hears the topic and the matter of God. See, when Peter, this is how it all began. This is going to blow you away. It's going to bless you. There's some old store and new store mixed, but it comes together beautifully. In Acts chapter 1, verses 15 through 26, it says, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," now this is when they were in the upper room. "Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said," the number of names together were about 120. "Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. For he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And it was known unto all the dwellers at Jerusalem, insomuch that the field is called in their proper tongue Alsadama, that is to say, the field of blood. For it is written in the book of Psalms." Now, this is Peter tapping in to the now word of God. He starts to tap into the now word of God. Watch this. "For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein. And his bishopric let another take. Wherefore of these men which have," now he's back into the now. He's in the now word, and he's bringing it to where they are. As we said in the past, in the old story, he's found them in the scriptures. He's really right in the heart of the topic and matter of God, which is Rhema. He's tapped into it. "Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us, all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto the same day that he was taken up from us, must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. And they appointed two, Joseph called Barsabbas, and who surnamed Justus, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Thou Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, shew whether of these two that thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell, that he might go to his own place. And then it says, and they gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. My point being here, and the point that the Lord wants to point out to you, is Peter heard the rhema out of the book of Psalms concerning filling Judas's bishopric. This was the now word of the Lord. This now would be their entrance, listen, into the bond of peace.
Amen.
This is where it began for the church, when Peter stood up, when the Lord told them to go up into the upper room and tarry there. When Peter tapped in, they were singing songs and praying, but nothing moved yet. Nothing shook yet through prayers or worship or praise. Nothing had happened. But when Peter heard a word from the Lord, this is how this thing's about to really, really maturate and manifest. So this would be their entrance into the bond of peace.
Amen, God.
This would begin to reveal the welfare of God. Watch this now. In Acts, right after what Peter says, Peter then preaches a long message there. In and out of the word, staying within the doctrine, within the rhema of the Lord. He did not move. And in Acts 2 and 1, this is what happens. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Now the welfare, the doors of his welfare system fly off the hinges here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, that means this day is forever complete. Forever complete, no longer celebrated once every 7 weeks after the time of Passover. No, it's not celebrated on the 50th day after Passover. Now, this is fully come. It's fully manifested. Why? Because Peter heard and stayed there, and they built, my goodness, he forged the foundation of how to stay in the bond of peace, receiving the welfare of God. Watch, I'm going to show you. This is so good. The word Pentecost means 50. We all know. And it was 50 days from Passover. It also means festival. There it is. In fact, it's the second of three Jewish feasts. Look at that. Vocation. In recognition of the completed harvest. So Pentecost really is a festival. Here again, I hear the welfare of God. The welfare of God. So now when Peter is now preaching, and if you read that chapter, you'll see how much Peter was flowing in rhema, and it exploded into the day of Pentecost, fully coming, forever established. The word Pente means five. They busted grace. It came wide open. They came right into the welfare of God. Peter did not move outside of rhema. He stayed there.
Amen.
So because Peter heard the topic, it brought the unity of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And the bond of peace was forged. It was forged. The church now would have a prerequisite. I'm going to show you right now. I'm going to show you. The Spirit would now begin to release the welfare of God. He started by filling them with himself and poured out gifts unto them. As I said, Pente meaning five, five meaning grace, is also proof of them entering into the Father's welfare. But watch this now. I like what Peter does. Peter, he found something. Don't you think that if you heard a revelation and you're speaking in the revelation, there's a different sound with rhema. Peter heard that sound. In fact, Peter had it on him prior to this because his speech betrayed him. He sounded like Jesus. He already started moving in this prior to this. That's why he started cussing, because he sounded like rhema. He sounded like Jesus. And when Peter taps into it here and recognizes, my goodness, the Spirit of God broke out. The Spirit of the Lord broke out when Peter was preaching under rhema. He was preaching the topic and the matter. He was in the study of God. Watch this here. In Acts 2 and 14, Peter continues in the now word, and in doing so reveals the uniting principle. Watch this. In Acts 2, verse 14, it says, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea, and all ye that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. Here's Peter again, flowing in this thing again. But this is what, which he's tapped into the revelation of God. He's moving in the rhema. He's still, now in doing so, he's establishing something here. But this is what that which is was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I shall shew wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Staying in the same chapter, just picking up at verse number 40 and 41 here, it says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and in the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. God's welfare is moving in salvation. God's welfare. And every time Peter's connected to a now word, every time he's speaking the now rhema, there's results of God's welfare. There's an outpour of God's favor. There's an outpour of salvation. There's an outpour of deliverance. And he's starting to recognize this. In fact, the church begins to recognize this.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Now I began to understand. That's why these boys stayed. That's why everybody was adopting and staying in the apostles' doctrine. Because the apostles were speaking the now word of God. And this is why the church was breaking bread daily. I started to realize something. The welfare of God really is locked in the now word. It's locked in the now study. It is revealed and released by it. I began to see something. And Peter, I believe, picked up on this. Peter continued to flow in the rhema word. 3,000 souls were added in one meeting. The welfare of God was spreading, and they're starting to see something. The united principle I see in verse number 42 is truly grafted in. The uniting principle is grafted in. Watch. In Acts 2:42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They stayed continually. That means to be, or the word continued means to exist, to be present. They were starting to understand every time this boy speaks, there's something going on. The Lord shows up. He starts to hand out gifts and he starts to do things. So now they're understanding this. So now the uniting principle is grafted into all that believed. They continued. It means this is the very bane of their existence now. This is where they're going to stay. They're like, forget this nonsense. Why would I leave this when all this is taking place?
Amen, amen.
Why? This is now where I exist. The word steadfastly, watch this, means this. Constantly and diligently in a place. It means also to continue all the time in a place. It means to persevere and not to faint. They got a revelation. They're like, wait a minute. Every time he's speaking, there's a move of God. So this became the place of their existence. They left everything and fully migrated into the welfare of God. Confirmation comes out of Acts 2:45. They left everything and migrated. They said, you know, forget this mess. We don't need it. Bible says in Acts 2:45, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. They began to see the welfare system of God moving. And now the unity of the Spirit is now not just on them individually, but now it hits them in a collective motion. And now collectively they come out of debt, which we've talked about numerous times. But now looking at it from the system of God's welfare, it makes perfect sense to me. They saw a system in place. And they're starting to see this thing. And they said, you know what? We don't need this stuff anymore. God is here to take care of us. He's here right now. And we don't need all of what we've got. In fact, you know what? Let's sell it all and give to every man that has need so we can just continue to walk in together the welfare system of our God.
Bless God.
Oh, Jesus. The welfare knew no boundaries, guys. It knew no boundaries. In Acts 2:46-47, it breaks boundaries here. This was amazing to me that you start to see it. You start to see it from a vision or from the perspective of the earth really being the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the worlds and they that dwell therein. It says in Acts 2:46-47, and they, watch this now, they stay within the uniting principles, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Praising God and having favor with all the people. His welfare system was exploding from every direction. It was coming out of every, it says they had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. But they had favor with all people. The Lord's welfare system had fully broken out. He used all people to bless them. All people. It didn't say some. It said all. They had favor with all the people. I don't know if you've ever walked in favor or ever experienced going places and all of a sudden favor touches you. But my goodness, I love it when it happens. It feels so good when the favor of God shows up. They were walking in favor with all. Can you imagine every turn and everything you're doing? You're going to buy this. You're going to do that. They're cutting prices on that. They're doing this. They're giving you that. Just saying, here, do that. Here, this is for you. Oh, let me open that door for you. Hey, let me carry that for you. Everywhere you go, there was favor. They had favor with all the people. Again, if you can imagine that, if you've ever experienced the favor of God, it'd be amazing that everywhere you went, all the people, everyone around you was favoring you. That was God's welfare system. It knew no boundaries anymore. Why? Because they continued daily. They stayed in it daily. The Lord's welfare had fully broken out. He used all people to bless them. He showed that the earth is his and the fullness thereof, the worlds and they, glory be to God, that dwell therein. Everyone around them became a source for receiving God's welfare. Everyone around them. Glory be to God. Now we start to see it is an increase of welfare. I see a pattern here. The more they stayed, the more increase, or the more that God's welfare system revealed. We see him revealing it through abundance. We see the move of salvation coming into their lives, which is wonderful. And we start to see, but God keeps increasing his welfare on the church because these people were endeavoring all the time. They were studying this life. It became their, oh, glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
It became Jesus. Their language. They weren't speaking like everybody else. We can watch a football game together and still speak in the code of Rhema. Mm-hmm. We can still speak in the Rhema. We can watch, we can have picnics and still be speaking within the language of heaven and never come out. We stay in the study and we're talking like, man, we're breaking bread. We have singleness of heart. We're all walking in it together. That's what this is all about. The Lord knows this. Listen. There's a saying that your chain is only strong. It's only as strong as the link next to it. And that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to bind us together in the Rhema word, because if we're all bound in it, our speech stays the same. Our understanding stays the same. And if we're all moving in it together, now there's an explosion of God's welfare. He's trying to graft us all in, that we won't have a weak link in the house of God. Everybody's got the same mindset, singleness of heart. Why? God is protecting his welfare system.
God, hallelujah.
He's protecting his welfare system. The fullness of his welfare broke out in Acts chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. It says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, and of women. Listen to this now. We've read this before, but listen to this. It's going to reveal a little bit different. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches. Now this thing is out, I'm just broken out, complete revival of God's welfare. He revealed finances. Can you imagine God lining their pockets financially? Then he starts to pour out this supernatural power of healing and deliverance. All right. So now they laid them on beds and couches at the least, the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Verse 16, at the least, it says. In other words, I see a whole outbreak in those streets. Laying hands, I just see where God was healing and releasing welfare by all means. It was an outbreak.
Jesus.
It was a complete outbreak. They were like, God was like saying, I am so full from how you guys have stayed in my doctrine and stayed in the study, how you've endeavored to stay. And I'm so full at the bond of peace that you and I have. This bond is so strong that even his shadow, if he can't lay hands on you, but he can walk past you, you're going to be healed. My welfare knows no boundaries anymore. It's an outbreak. It's just a complete outbreak. And it says in verse 16, watch this now. There came also. Never realized this. Always intrigued by the shadow of Peter healing that I never really heard the account. but I see that the increase of welfare going crazy. It says in verse 16, there came also. So verse 15 is one account, people. Verse 16 is an entirely different account. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Mm-hmm. Verse 15 is Jerusalem sick getting healed. Verse 16 is a multitude coming from all the cities all around Jerusalem coming in.
Get it? That's so cool.
Welfare just exploded.
Jesus.
It just exploded, praise God. This is what he wants with us. He wants TGM to put it on lock and let it spread through the nations. Let it spread through the cities, man, and let it spread to the ministries that are not touching ground in the right way. He wants to use us. He wants to raise us up. He's saying, my God, I gave you the same uniting principle I gave unto Peter in the upper room when he began to speak my rhema, that caused the sound to come, that caused the spirit to manifest, that started a revolution, that started, oh my God, it started an outbreak of my welfare.
Hallelujah.
Just like I gave him the prerequisite and they saw it every time they took note, that every time that they're speaking the now word, there's a move of my spirit. And so they caused it to become a prerequisite that all the believers would stay in the apostles' doctrine. And welfare just kept spreading. They sold all their possessions. They didn't need anything else. No, they found the commonwealth of God. They found where Jesus would really be their king and take care of them. And it spread and it spread and it spread and it kept spreading. And multitudes came from all the other cities after Jerusalem went into the cities or into the streets with their sick. So now multitudes are hearing about this and it's just spreading. It's just spreading, and ultimately salvation is taking place in every which way, shape, and form. God was saving their souls, saving their bodies, saving their wealth, their finances, saving everything about them. He was giving a way higher quality of life. His welfare had broke out. It says, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one. Every one. See, this is why I believe that we go home early. It's because we don't tap in to this the right way. We try to get the welfare without really establishing the joining piece, and that just doesn't work. We try to force the scripture. We try to do so many things to get manifestation, but he's saying, no, I need you to endeavor. Come into the unity of the spirit. Let the bond of peace be forged between you. And I will release my welfare. But it's by your endeavoring. Verse 15 and 16 are two different accounts, as I stated. And we can see the increase of his welfare. It started with the sick in Jerusalem, then spread to the cities all around Jerusalem. A multitude came from, and every one of them was healed. The welfare of God, and I'm closing, the welfare of God was expanding his kingdom on the earth. The welfare of God was expanding, period. His kingdom on the earth. His kingdom on the earth was mirroring heaven. And this is what the Lord, he said, this is what I want to do. This is what I want to have. I want it and I will have it. It will be this way. It will be this way. His welfare, and the Bible says it very plainly, all of the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. And this is what he wants to do, and this is what he is going to do. He's going to have this.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
And he's given us all that we need to really and truthfully see this happen.
Jesus.
If we endeavor, love that scripture. Jesus, my Lord, if we endeavor, if we will, he tells us right there. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit, to keep it, Amen. Not to be in it one moment, but keep it. See, that's what they did. They kept it in Acts. They really did. It wasn't momentary things. It became, like I said, the bane of their existence. They existed there. They continued steadfastly. They made that their abode. They really did. So endeavoring to keep the unity, to keep the unity of the capital S Spirit in the bond of peace, which will give you the bond. It will create the bond of peace, of welfare. Creates it. So don't ever think that you're studying too much. Don't ever think that, and I'm not talking about no religious study either. I'm talking about studying to feel after him, to know him, to experience him, to imbibe him, to thoroughly understand him, to hang out with him, to love him. That's what we do when we stay in this rhema. The love of God and the love for God is really, really created there. It's real. Isn't that a blessing? That only thing you have to do is stay in what he's saying and you'll have an authentic love.
Amen.
You'll have an authentic relationship, and the only thing you're doing is staying in what he's saying, and you fall. There's a falling in love every time. When you take time off and you know you get back in, it's like, oh man, I missed you so much. It's authentic. But he says, endeavor to keep it. Endeavor to keep it. Endeavor. Use speed, make effort, be diligent, labor, or study. Study. Jesus. And that's it. That's it. We've got the uniting principle of how to walk this thing out. We've got it, and we're going to use it. If you're a part of this ministry until Jesus comes, I'm going to be teaching you on how to stay in the study. Because if you stay in the study, you stay in him. If you stay in the study, you stay in him. Praise God.
Amen.
But that's it. Acts of welfare. Look at it for yourself. See it for yourself again. Study it for yourself. The acts of welfare. They found his system and they did not. They never turned from it. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. The now word will qualify you. It will qualify you for receiving God's welfare. It will. It will. It will. It will. The bond of peace that's created between you and the Father releases the vocation that you've been called to. It releases the feast. It releases the festival. Come on, lift your hands to him if you're on the line. It releases it. You don't have to worry about anything that you might be going through now. Just you were called into a place where God will take care of you. If you can let go like they did, if you can do it, If you can do it, you don't even have to do it by yourself. You do it just by, again, just staying in the study. Press play on your device and let the words just keep running to you. Let it create that authentic bond that you between you and God. And then lift your hands when you recognize that place of his peace and glorify him for his welfare. Glorify him for his prosperity, his benefits, his favors. That's all part of his welfare. But glorify him for it because it's absolutely real.
Yes, it is.
It's so real. It will show up and show out for you every single time.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God.
The only thing he wants you to do is endeavor. Endeavor. They found the formula. They found the blueprint. They found it, my God. They found it. I felt that. That was so fascinating and so fast. They found the blueprint. Yeah, Jesus, you're good. You're so good, Master. We give you praise for your word. We thank you for speaking unto our hearts. We thank you for revealing to us, for taking us deeper in the revelation of your welfare. We thank you for the examples of our brothers that came before us. We thank you for Peter's ear to hear.
Yes, God.
We thank you for them recognizing the power that would be released by communicating your rhema, by speaking and being in touch with what your topic and matter was. We thank you that you prove that you are the word.
Hallelujah.
And you live within the very words we hear.
Yes, God.
We thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us, oh God. You've granted us such an opportunity to experience you. Oh, Master. Master. Oh, Master. Master. Oh, Master. Thank you. Thank you so much. You've been teaching us how to endeavor. You've been really teaching us. Now you've given us yet another incentive. You want to reveal your welfare in ways that we've never seen. And I give you glory. I give you glory. Quicken again, Master. Quicken them again, I pray. Quicken them of the importance of study. Quicken them again. Please quicken them again. Quicken them. In Jesus, your precious name. And everyone that agreed, just say amen.
Amen, Lord God.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Ooh, God, yeah. Ella Allison says amen and hallelujah. And Elder Donna says hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, that's all I got for you guys today. That's everything.
That's good.